Ladies and gentlemen, you are now entering the Decent Christian Talk podcast. Enjoy.
Decent Christian Talk, episode 41. Well, we are 1 week away from the first week of summer. For most of you in the United States, I would say it already feels like summer. Pretty much any time after Memorial Day feels like summer. But things are definitely heating up as we wrap up season one of the DCT podcast next week. We've got a lot of exciting things coming up for you at the beginning of season two. But before we get to that, we've got an excellent show today. Kind of an impromptu episode. We've got Stu Gerard, Stu G from Delirious. For those of you that remember Delirious from the late 90s and 2000s, they are one of the premier bands in Christian music. He just released a project called The Beatitudes, and I got a chance to talk with him about that. And ironically, we are releasing this podcast on the 20th anniversary of King of Fools. Well, it's not actually today. It's this week. I think it's on Friday or so. But this week is the 20th anniversary of the release of King of Fools. So, you know, I thought we would catch up with Stu, talk about the project, and talk about some other things, and really enjoyed the conversation that we had. You'll have to check that out later on in the show. But before we get to that, we kind of took a break from this last episode because we had a lot of stuff going on. But we're back this week with the DCT Podcast of the Week. And what you know, this week, it is Delirious's King of Fools. Check it out.
The Decent Christian Talk Podcast Flashback.
In the early 1990s, Martin Smith, Stuart Smith, and Tim Jupp formed a band to play at events known as Cutting Edge in the UK. Originally, Tim Jupp actually fronted the band in the midst of many lineup changes. Through Martin Smith and Tim Jupp's abilities as recording engineers and producers at a local studio, the band was able to release EPs in support of the Cutting Edge events. Eventually, as the event became more and more successful, Stu G and John Thatcher would permanently join the band. In 1996, they had sold over 70,000 EPs through mail order. In 1995, Martin Smith and his wife, along with John Thatcher, were in a very serious car accident. In his time of recovery, Martin Smith decided to pursue the band in a full-time status. In January of 1996, the band officially became known as Delirious. The band would release their first record in the UK under the new name on June 16th, 1997, entitled King of Fools.
Whatever happened to the love in your mind? Whatever happened to a prayer in your mind? Whatever happened to a promise?
The record would see many selections garner radio play, including Deeper, Promise, White Ribbon Day, and Sanctify. Perhaps the song that Delirious is most famous for also appeared on this record, History Maker. I'm gonna be a history maker in this land. I'm gonna be a speaker of truth to all mankind. King of Fools saw unexpected mainstream success in both the UK and the US markets. The record went silver in the UK, selling over 200,000 copies. As a result of the success of the band during this time, the band signed with Sparrow and Virgin Records. Sparrow Records would later release King of Fools in the US in 1998. The record would garner a Grammy nomination the following year. CCM Magazine would go on to list King of Fools as the 85th best CCM record of all time. The band would release 7 more studio albums and a handful of live albums before playing their last show in London in 2009. The band was a trailblazer for the modern worship movement, and their music continues to stand the test of time today. Man, King of Fools. You know that this. You know, I think probably the first Delirious song I was really familiar with was Deeper off this album. I'm trying to think. I know the Cutting Edge albums before that. There was quite a few tracks that I was familiar with, especially, you know, I Could Sing of Your Love Forever. Did You Feel the Mountains Tremble? But I want to say I wasn't familiar with those until after King of Fools was released in the U.S. And I just, once I heard that album, I really wanted more and more of this band, because this was the Euro sound that I kind of really love. And man, this album was a great introduction to the band for me. I actually saw them not too long after the release in the U.S. I want to say it was 1998, maybe it was 99, but it was actually their first show in North America at Creation East. That was their first American show, or first North American show ever, and or at least first show in the U.S. I can't remember if there was another show in North America before that, but regardless, that was historic performance, and I'll never forget that. There was an energy about that band that was just really incredible, and they really put worship music to a sound that I identified with, and kind of really started this worship movement, a modern worship movement, kind of them along with Sonic Flood and a few others, and that was just, I really think that, like, Delirious in that time, I mean, you saw worship albums coming out from the Insiders. Skillet released a worship album in that time. It was really an interesting time. This was a time where people were creative with the worship, and they weren't just making these albums because it was the cool thing to do, or because it was selling necessarily. I mean, it was just, I don't know, there was a lot going on in the world at that time, you know. Of course, not long after King of Fools, and specifically even Mesomorphos, 9/11 happened, and you know, that kind of, for me, was really what made the worship movement kind of I think that had a big influence on starting it as well. But getting back to King of Fools, you know, that not only did Delirious have a worship, you know, element to them, but they also could rock it as hard as anybody. And this album also proved that. And even the following album after that, Mesomorphosis, showed that the band could really rock it. And it's a really good album. It stands up through the test of time. I would encourage you to go back and listen to it. History Maker is just one of those songs that just never gets old. So I just encourage you to go back and listen to that. And while you're going down that kind of that hole of time, make sure you check out the Beatitudes album from Stu G. This next segment is our conversation with him and kind of what all went into the making of that album and kind of what he's up to nowadays. And I don't really have a whole lot more to say because we've talked about him a little bit before. So without further ado, here is our interview with Stu G.
All right, hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
Yeah, so dude, tell me a little bit about your background. You know, maybe some people might not know your background. Just, you know, kind of how you got, you know, started in music. What were your first experiences? What were some bands that maybe you listened to growing up, and kind of how you cut your teeth?
Yeah, so I actually started my musical life as a drummer, as an early teenager. Like maybe when I was 12 years old, my parents bought me a drum kit, and yeah, that's what I did for a few years, and had some lessons and what have you. And then when I got my first job and I had some money in my pocket, I went to the local record store, and my favorite band were Queen. And so I, you know, bought a load of their records and over the weeks, and one of them was a record called Queen Live Killers. And the moment I put that on the turntable, I wanted to be Brian May. So that's who inspired me to pick up the guitar. And so I sold my drum kit, bought a guitar, and I started to learn. I was 16 years old. And I guess over the next few years, you know, like I had some lessons, and I just learned to play records, learned to play to records in my bedroom. And and you know, got into one or two bands locally. And then, when I got married, we had the opportunity, my wife and I, to go and live with our pastor and his wife in London, and learn to kind of, lead worship. And we went kind of full time into music like that. And, so I used to travel with my pastor and his wife and did that for a number of years. And then I had my own bands in London, that we used to go and do the club circuit. And then I got the chance to play with a couple of guys in the worship world. One was an English guy called Noel Richards, and one was an American guy called Kevin Prosh. And that was really formative years for me, in terms of like just working on my guitar playing, working on melody and structure and all that kind of stuff. And then I met Martin and Tim from an event on the South Coast called Cutting Edge, and started to go down there and play. And then we ended up moving down there, and that's what became Delirious. Mm. You know, the next 17 years were was that whole amazing time of you know, recording and making cassettes and selling them at the back of gigs, and the music getting out there. And then, you know, to going full-time as Delirious and releasing singles into the UK charts, touring with Bon Jovi, coming to America and traveling the world for the first time, and the songs that we were singing being sung in churches all over the world, you know. And it was just an amazing period of time for us, and just one that I look back on really fondly.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate your time with that band. That was one of my favorite groups to listen to.
Thank you.
That's really awesome. Now, of course, you transitioned out of that phase and kind of into the phase that you're in now.
Yeah.
And that led you to start this project called The Beatitudes. Why did you pick The Beatitudes, of all things?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, you know, 20 years ago or so, when we were touring America and, you know, people would ask us to sign CDs and they'd say, what's your favorite scripture? And I would always write Sermon on the Mount, you know, Matthew 5, 6, 7. And over the time, the Beatitudes really came into focus for me. And at the time, I was kind of understanding them as, you know, so if I live like this, you know, so if I become meek, then maybe I'll inherit the earth. I mean, I had no idea what that meant, you know, but the idea of like becoming something, achieving something to get a blessing, that was how I was kind of understanding them. And what happened was I started to see them as not that at all, but as announcements of God's presence when things aren't working out, and when there's failure, and when your spirit is crushed, you know, and when there's grief to mourn, and when you're hungry and thirsty for justice and wholeness, when that's missing, you know, when you're aching for whatever that lack is. And I started to understand those things as announcements of like God's presence to us, and that's what the blessing was. And then the invitation to become peacemakers, to show mercy, to live with a whole heart, and that if we live that way, which is an upside down way, swimming upstream, then, you know, it's likely that we'll have some pushback of some sort, you know, and that's where the persecution thing comes in. So so that was intriguing to me, like that shift of like, these aren't things to attain, they're actually announcements of presence and blessing. And so so that was intriguing. And because there was like 8 themes, I always thought, well, that's a great length for an album. You know, let's write 8 songs. And I thought that would be a Delirious album. But, you know, that wasn't to be. And I'm glad it wasn't, because, you know, it's a different project now than it would have been back in the day. I think I'm a lot more curious about things now. Back then, I was a little bit more certain about it, but I would have missed the point.
So you mentioned that it was a potential Delirious album. What was the songwriting process? Was that all you, or was that a collaboration thing as well?
Yeah. So everything about this album and the book and the film that will come out is all about collaboration and community. I know that I'm strongest when I'm with other people, and so when I came to write the songs for this, you know, I would ask someone if they would like to, you know, write a song with me, and if they would like to record it with me, you know, and that's really how it all came about. I knew that it had to be collaboration. I knew that it had to be community, and so I ended up writing all these songs with the artist, because I wanted their voice to be the predominant voice on each song. So, you know, I got back together with Martin, for instance, and we wrote a Holy Troublemakers song, and I wrote with Hillsong United with Joel Houston, and you know, everyone that I wrote with, I wanted them to feel like it was their song.
So I know you've worked with like Hillsong United and of course Martin Smith and Michael W. Smith. How do you pitch this to someone like Propaganda?
Yeah, great question. Honestly, you know, I had been a fan of props for a long time, actually, you know, like in terms of his Twitter feed. And that's how I knew him. And, you know, I'm a fan of hip hop, but, and spoken word for sure, but it wasn't my culture. So I wasn't in community with him at all, you know. And so I just reached out on Twitter and said, it wasn't even direct message because he didn't follow me, you know. And so I was like, hey, Prop, I'm working on this project. And I've got this idea for a song, and would you be interested in writing it with me? And he came back with yes, you know, and it took me on a ride, because he was like, man, if you want to go down the path of, you know, writing about the marginalized and the oppressed and the bullied, and, you know, he says, I'll take you on that ride, but be ready for it, because it will get uncomfortable, you know. And so he did that, and you know, we've become friends, and just such an incredible voice. You know, he took me to lyric school when we were in the studio, for sure. It was an amazing experience.
You also mentioned a book and a movie coming out. What can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so you know, it was always going to be an album, and it was always going to be collaborative. But you know, a few years ago, I was here in Nashville, and we were I was sitting around a fire pit with my friend Jimmy Abeg and Kevin Max and Corey Basil and one of my mentors on the project, a rabbi called Rabbi Joseph, and we were just talking about what it would look like to create a project, and those conversations kind of went outside of that group, and a book publisher reached out to me. My friend Don at Nav Press reached out and said, have you ever thought about writing a book? I think this is really compelling. And so the book really became the backbone of the project at that point, because it meant that I had to go outside of myself and the things that I knew about A, the Beatitudes, and B, you know, the people that I was getting around. And I had to search for stories about what does it look like to be meek in the 21st century? What does it look like what does mercy look like in the 21st century? And so for mercy in particular, I talked to a woman who was on death row and incarcerated for 27 years, and she had her sentence commuted to a life sentence within 72 days of her being executed, you know. So the question was, what does mercy look like to her? Survivors of prostitution, addiction, trafficking, these women that get their lives back, like, what does it look like for them? And I talked to a guy that was on Wall Street making millions and millions of dollars, and I said, what does poverty of spirit look like to you? And I talked to folks from the African American community here in the South, and Native American, and refugees, and I talked to someone from the LGBT community, and just said, you know, what does it look like for us to be neighbors? Like, even if we don't agree on things, like, what, how do we inhabit the same space? What does it mean to love your neighbor? And so, so that's the book, really. You know, it's kind of like my exploration of what the Beatitudes look like in the 21st century. Peacemakers is based in the Holy Land, in the middle of the Israeli and Palestinian conflict. I've been there several times now and made some amazing friends, and, you know, people that have took me to holy sites, and that's changed my life. But also to I've sat in refugee camps, and I've visited the Holocaust Museum, and, you know, so Israelis and Palestinians, Jews and Muslims and Christians, just ask them, what does it mean to look, what does it mean to be a peacemaker and to not to take sides, you know, and what does it mean to create a future that's different than what we've got now, one of mutual flourishing. So, that's the book, you know, and I think that's really compelling. And then a lot of the ideas from the book became songs, and a lot of the stories we did interviews for the film. It's a documentary based film. And we're editing it right now, even though the book and the music are out. And So hopefully folks will be interested and compelled and connected with the stories in that.
How can people find out more about this and stay connected with you about the film and all that?
Yeah, brilliant. So the beatitudesproject.com is the kind of central website, and on there you can get links to get the record and get the book, and we'll be updating people on the film on there, but also social media. So my handle on Instagram and Twitter is at Stugio, that's S-T-U-G-I-O, and on Facebook I'm Stugi, and regular updates on there, and also I like to engage with folks so they can send messages and I'll respond, that's the best way to keep in touch with news. You can listen to the music on Spotify and Apple Music. You can buy it on iTunes. You can buy it from Amazon on physical CD.
That's great. What do you think of the Army of Bones album?
I love what I've heard of it so far. I haven't heard the whole album yet, but again, I listen on Spotify, and I was just in touch with the boys this week because they're on tour in the UK, and so I was wishing them well for that, and really love that. So it's basically Army of Bones. It's pretty much the Army of Bones band that played with me and recorded Holy Troublemakers with me and Martin on the Beatitudes project. So I love those guys and I love the music.
Awesome. Are you going to get to play any of these songs like impromptu on the DC Talk Cruise? I know you're going to be there with Kevin.
That's right. So I'm doing the DC Talk Cruise with Kevin, and so I'm playing with him, but I'm also doing a presentation on the Beatitudes Project in the daytime, one of the C days, and I probably will do a couple of impromptu acoustic songs for sure.
That's awesome. That'll be something to check out for those that are there.
So whereabouts are you?
I am in Morgantown, West Virginia, which is about 70 miles south of Pittsburgh area.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very good. Are you a Penguins fan?
Yeah. Yes, I am. Are you a Predators fan?
Well, only because we live in we live here now.
I wasn't going to bring it up, but yeah.
No. The thing is that, I would say I'm a fan, except the fact that I had no interest in ice hockey until they got into the Western Conference Finals. So I'm an armchair supporter, definitely.
Well, it's a good sport to start following. I love it, so that's good.
That's great.
Thank you for your time, Stu. I really appreciate it a lot.
That's awesome, Gabe.
All right. Hey, you have a good day.
All right, you too, and look forward to speaking to you again.
That was our interview with Stu G. Apologies to the Nashville Predator fans that might be listening to this, as my Penguins did end up closing out the Nashville Predators this past weekend. This interview kind of took place before that, so my condolences to you. I don't know if I'm really apologizing, because I'm happy that my team won, but anyway, it was really fun to catch up with Stu G, talk about that Beatitudes project. It's really one of my favorite projects of the year. I mean, you've got an amazing amount of talent that's on this. You've got Michael W. Smith, Amy Grant, Matt Maher, Audrey Assad, Hillsong United, Martin Smith, Propaganda. I mean, there's just so much on this project. You just have to check it out. It's very eclectic. It's very artistic. I mean, you got All Sons and Daughters. You have John McMillan. Just a lot of good songs on this project. I'd encourage you to go check that out. Just like if you want to know any more information about it, I would encourage you to check out the website that Stu talked about. That's going to be something worth following. I'm excited to find out more about that project, the film project specifically. And it's exciting to hear that Stu's going to be on the DC Talk Cruise. I mean, that's going to be fun. He's going to be a part of Kevin's band. I know he's going to be with Jimmy Abag. I think John Painter is going to be in the band. So that's going to be fun. That's an interesting group of guys. And from what he says, he's also going to have maybe his own set somewhere on the cruise. So for those of you that are attending, keep your eyes peeled for that. That'll be fun to hear Stu G play some of the songs off the Beatitudes project on the cruise. And that'll be exciting. Hey, we've got an amazing thing coming up. Speaking of the cruise, we'll get to that more at the end of the show. We did talk about Hillsong United being on the Beatitudes project. They actually just released a record this past week called Wonder, and that is that's one of the albums that have just recently come out. That's pretty much the only thing that I can really think of as far as albums that's come out. I know Lecrae dropped a single with Tori Kelly. Those two have been hinting at releasing a song together for a long time, so it's exciting to hear that finally. They've probably been working on that for a while, and this is in support of his upcoming record that's probably going to drop at the end of the summer, maybe early fall 2017. So go check that out. And really, that's pretty much all the music news that we have. Next week on the DCT podcast, we have an exclusive interview with Pastor Harry Thomas. He is the director of the Creation Festival, and he's also one of the founders of the Creation Festival, founded all the way back in 1979, or at least that was the first year that the festival happened. He's still going strong today, and we talked to him at last year's Creation Festival, and we're going to play that interview for you next week, and we're going to give you a nice little preview of this year's 39th annual Creation Festival. It's exciting. We try to head to that every year, and kind of getting ready for ramping up for next year's big 40th anniversary. I've heard there's some big things in store for next year. But this year's 39th annual, and we're going to have our preview next week with Pastor Dr. Harry Thomas next week. And that's going to be the end of Season 1 for the Decent Christian Talk podcast. And that's going to kind of bring a close to our first year. And we're really excited to have you guys. We've just really been excited about the growth of this podcast over the last year. Kind of just starting something new. We tried it out last year and just kept going. And we're just really excited where this thing may go. Just gradually. We just thank you so much for supporting us. We would encourage you to go to decentchristiantalk.com and subscribe to us if you haven't already. Give us your email address on the right-hand side of the page. You can also donate there if you'd like. Send us a buck or two. That would really help us with some of our website expenses. You can also follow us on Twitter, DC Talk Act 2, and Instagram, DC Talk Podcast. Snapchat, DCT Podcast. One reason why you want to follow us on Snapchat and Instagram is because when we head to the Creation Fest in about 2 weeks, we're really going to be hitting that up pretty strong and posting a lot of good stuff on there. Facebook, we're on there as well, Decent Christian Talk, and the Decent Christian Talk podcast discussion page on there as well. You can check us out on iTunes, subscribe to us on there, give us a nice review if you can. We're on YouTube and SoundCloud as well. Hey, like I said, next week is the end of Season 1. But we're just going to make a little announcement right now. The beginning of season 2, our very first episode out of the gate in July, I think it's the week of the 4th of July. Our very first episode of season 2 is going to be our DC Talk Cruise preview special, and we are going to be joined by none other than Toby Mac. He is going to talk with us about the Jesus Freak album. I think it's 22 years this year that it was released, and we're going to talk with him a little bit about that album. So make sure you tell all your friends to check us out if you haven't already. Spread the word. Toby Mac, the DCT podcast, finally. We're really excited to bring you that. But that's all for this week. We thank you for joining us. We'd like to thank Stu G again for joining us. Garrett Gottfried, Dan Six, Josiah Jones, Nathaniel Jones, Carly Jones, Judah Jones, Nathaniel Jones, and all of you for once again making this happen every single week. Thank you so much. We'll catch you next time. Peace.
Don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses. Thanks. My skinny boy can get my day elbow.